Good morning. Today is Wednesday, November the 23rd, pre-Thanksgiving Day. Joining us this morning, who better to be the turkey than Steve Madrone? Good morning, sir.
Turkey, okay.
Yeah, well, I could have called you a mashed potato. Does that? But I thought that was a dance when you were younger.
No worries. I'm sure we all have lots of things we're thankful for.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Are you ready for our Why Do We Say That?
Absolutely.
Okay. Why do we say on the house?
Because it's, no, wait a minute. I was going to make a reference to the election, but here we are, the 23rd. That's all long gone. You tell me.
All right. Anything distributed free of charge, courtesy of the management, is, quote, on the house. Originally, the house involved was an English pub or tavern. Owners often invited newcomers to sample their stock by offering a free drink. This small taste often whetted the appetite for more, and the barkeep could expect the sale from several more drinks. Some U.S. states prohibit a barkeeper from offering freebies. In other regions, rising costs have made the custom obsolete. Despite this, we still say that gifts to a consumer from a business owner are on the house.
Sounds good, but you better report it on your Form 700.
Yeah. Listen, if I have to report all the stolen I'm giving out to people, that's going to be a full-time job, and I'll wait to be audited on that one.
I know, and you got those free sodas that you give us when we come in.
That's
and
right. Yeah, left and right here. We're just a fount of free here.
Yeah, just trying to influence the entire community.
Oh, that's right. Well, just, you know, as much as anything is to get you to come back next time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, at least you use those fancy French sodas, La Croix.
Yes, yeah. Big fancy on that one.
Yeah, right.
Oh, gee. So what are you, yeah, I think it's probably typical for everybody to say, what are you thankful for? And they say, you know, family and friends and all that kind of stuff.
Sure, right.
But with the machinations the county has gone through this year, I would suspect that there are a lot of things that you can look back towards, even though the year's not done, and go, you know, yeah, good thing we made it through this and took care of that, and we're progressing in this area, and is there any one thing that really leaps out at you that you'd be thankful for today?
Yeah, I would say for me, it's the way that our board is working with each other. You know, the world is so complex, and there's always going to be differences of opinions about things, different political viewpoints, and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, we're stronger with a diversity of opinions, from my perspective, when we have five different thoughts and motivations going into our decisions. I think that creates a lot of strength. And when we're able to be respectful to each other and those differences, we get stuff done. You know, back here in late October, early November, we had two very long meetings, 10 hours, 11 hours.
Those are going to go down as memorial, aren't they? I mean, Virginia talked about it. Rex has talked about it. You're bringing it. Yeah, it's like, holy Toledo.
But if you watch those meetings, you will see that we all really worked hard to treat each other respectfully. And so at the end of the day, even though there were really long meetings, we got a lot done. We worked together. We found compromise. And I don't know, you know, call it weird, whatever, but I just think that's exactly why people elect us, is to try and work together and get stuff done, right? That's the new party, right? The GSD party.
What is the icon or the logo for it, though? A smiley face?
GSD is, funny face, right? Yeah. So it's get stuff done, right?
Yeah. Oh, that one.
Imagine getting things done.
Yeah, I think I was more closely affiliated with the older brother.
That was the frowny face?
No. Just a slight deviation off of the S, that's all.
Yeah, there you go. Certainly. Well, you know, in watershed work, we say silt happens. So
there you go. Yeah, now you're getting closer. The challenges with PG&E the source for one of those. I know that there's a concern throughout the county that not only is Southern Humboldt having to deal with that, but that same prankster could come and visit everybody in Humboldt County.
Well, absolutely. And at a recent community service district meeting in McKinleyville, It was brought up that the problem was mostly Southern Humboldt, and I said, no, it isn't. In fact, John Ford pointed out that the town center that we're working on with the Pearson family behind the Safeway could very well be held back because of the lack of capacity. So it is an issue that, you know, the whole county is going to be dealing with PG&E.
Yeah, and I think the temptation is to focus that this is PG&E. And in fact, I would suggest that it could be for any of the various entities that the county deals with that are owned from out of the area about, you know, are you preparing for the future? Roads is a simple one, but that's kind of a self-contained issue. But let's say if there were contracts with asphalt providers and you couldn't get asphalt for 4 years.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of potential ripples that could be parallel to this that could really stymie or choke off some of the really cool economic growth that has been going on in the area, and we're just kind of starting to see the signs of that.
Yeah, isn't it classic that right at the moment that we seem to be bringing in a whole bunch of new big engines and opportunities and some really good-paying jobs, that suddenly we hit a wall on capacity with electrical distribution and such? Just amazing.
Yeah.
You think, okay, great, we're going to get it done. Here we go, and boom.
Yeah, the irony of it I don't think is lost on a whole lot of us. But it's not done yet either, so you know, no need to give up hope. KINS,
yeah.
News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian Coconut Water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's Homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, $4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets. More than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor Steve Madrone. Steve, some of the challenges that we do have in the area now that we're kind of almost outside of the construction season, the overpass at Indianola Road. I know that that's not in your county or your district within the county, but yet it's something that is going to impact everybody in the county.
Certainly.
What are you hearing about that? Is it chugging along okay? Are we going to have that overpass starting to see some signs of construction and development there shortly?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, you think, well, when's it going to happen? Well, it's already been underway.
Sure.
The bridges north of there over the various draws and sloughs were widened and increased in their height, you know, because of sea level rise and other things. And those were widened because the approaches that happen coming from the north and coming from the south to get to the off-ramps requires a widening in certain areas to be able to make all those line, you know, direct line shots for safety and all that kind of stuff. So that work's been happening. In addition, when you turn out on 299 and you go east, of course, they're lifting that bridge there on North Bank Road, literally there, because it was too small for certain size trucks. I guess trucks kept hitting it or something.
My buddy has been working on that. The whole thing, you know what it's for? 6 inches.
I know.
It's like, dig the road down. Do something simple and easy. Gee.
I know. Why you keep saying that. They're literally lifting the entire structure, which is really quite phenomenal.
Yeah, it's
the point I wanted to make was just east of there, you see all those black tarps covering a whole bunch of something.
Right.
Well, those are styrofoam blocks. And those styrofoam blocks will be in the inside of the forms that then have concrete poured around them for the Indianola overpass structures and all that stuff.
Yeah, so that's isn't that the strangest thing?
It is.
We had the stations.
Like, what?
Yeah, we had the stations in Brookings, south of Crescent City. There was a slip out, and they used those and filled dirt around it.
Yeah,
and built up two lanes. I won't tell anybody where it is because it's still kind of weird to drive over it, knowing what's under there. But how they can use materials like that aren't as they appear. And I guess structurally, all that stuff must be okay.
Well, yeah, and it creates the form. You know, pouring dirt is one thing, but they'll be pouring concrete around these others. But, you know, you don't have to have, I guess these engineers have figured all these things out in terms of the structural integrity of how you do it all and stuff. But the point is that there has been progress. In addition, Caltrans is putting a large chunk of money into the Bay Trail South, which is going to be under construction next summer. And that was one of the requirements that the Coastal Commission put on the Indianola bypass and all that work, was to cooperate with, help fund, and be a partner with the completion of the multimodal trail.
So is that the one that goes from, I guess, where the train tracks are just kind of hanging over the water all the way through the Slough Bridge down and, I guess, tying into...
All the way into Eureka. And, of course... just a few weeks ago, the Federal State Transportation Board, or Surface Transportation Board, ruled that the entire rail from Willits to Arcata, including the Samoa Spur and the Carlotta Spur, have now all been rail banked. So that's a done deal. And what that means is that the right-of-way is being preserved so that someday, if rail could happen, it will be there for that. But more importantly, in the meantime, because we know it's not economically viable to run a train through the canyon because of the erosiveness, but in the meantime, we can use the right-of-way for the Great Redwood Trail. So that is off and running, and as I said, we're going to be building the Humboldt Bay South section next summer. We're going to be meeting with all kinds of landowners that, in some cases, the railroad grade runs right in front of their house.
That's what in southern Humboldt, Mendocino, I know that's something that has been a major concern.
On the canyon, as well as some places on the Carlotta Spur.
Yes.
And so we're going to be sitting down with landowners and negotiating with them to see, is there some way we could reroute this to make it less impactful on your life and your property? And if so, then let's make some exchanges. But also, those landowners who had easements, right? A lot of the right-of-way is in fee title, owned by the Great Redwood Trail now. But there are easements across private land. And wherever that occurs, those landowners can actually file a claim with the federal government for a taking and get some compensation that way.
Right.
So anyway, there'll be a lot to work out on all that. But,
now, is that the county's responsibility, Steve, or is that somebody else?
No, it's the Great Redwood Trail Agency's responsibility to do the master planning and reach out to all the landowners. But as a trail advocate, been involved in the Hammond and all the other trails around here for the last 30-some years, I like working with landowners and meeting with them and hearing their concerns and working to try and mitigate those and make life good for everybody, so to speak. So it's going to be an interesting process. A lot of outreach is going to have to occur. And, you know, the sections that are near urban areas, like around Humboldt Bay, are going to get completed first, and then eventually the stuff up the Yellow River Canyon will happen later, and that'll be more like a wilderness trail than an urban trail, right?
So with the trail, we've got what you were referencing then ties into what the city of Eureka has done.
That's correct.
And then south of Eureka, what happens? Does it go up on the levee? Is it highway widened?
At the south end of Eureka, you got to get over Elk River.
Right.
And so the railroad car bridge will be used there to get across, just like the Eureka Slough Bridge, on the north side of Eureka.
Right.
Although the Eureka Slough Bridge, eventually in about 10 years or so, Caltrans is going to be redoing the bridges on 101 over the Eureka Slough.
Okay, and let's pick that up when we come back. It's 8:30. Okay.
Something big Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now,
live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor Steve Madrone. Steve, before the break, we were talking about the trail that's being extended and the impact into Eureka. And you'd mentioned replacing the train trestle by what we know as the Slough Bridge as part of that trail. What is the proposal for that structure?
Yeah, so we're only going to be using it temporarily until Caltrans replaces the bridges on Highway 101. And when they do that, there will be the provisions for a pedestrian and bicycle bridge, much like the Mad River Bridge north of Arcata also had one of those pedestrian bicycle pathways.
Oh, so it's the super wide bridge,
exactly.
So to speak.
Yeah, 10, 15 feet wide kind of a thing. And so that will happen there. And once that happens, we'll shift off of the rail bridge because around the bay, we've been doing what's called rail with trail, where the rail prism is mostly being preserved for other uses, rail-type uses. Timber Heritage Association and others are wanting to do some great things, like with the speeders and other stuff. At any rate, as you get to the south end of Eureka, there's another bridge over Elk River, and so that's proposed to be used in the short term as well. But for the most part, we're building the trail separate from the rail prism. But once you leave Humboldt Bay, more and more of the railroad right-of-way will probably have the trail built right on the railroad right-of-way.
Right, because down past Fields Landing, there's not a whole lot of space other than the old rail line. Yeah.
Right, and you get into all kinds of wetland impacts and other things when you start trying to veer off of that. So until there is a rail use that is viable, which is probably never, the rail itself can be used for the trail, and so it'll head south to CR, Fortuna, Riadel, and then eventually down the canyon. So a long time out. You know, the stuff to get to South Fork is not too complicated, but then beyond South Fork, you have a lot of other issues to work with. And again, we're going to be working with the landowners along the right-of-way to try and make sure that it works to their benefit. And when you look around the country where these types of rail-to-trail conversions have happened, it has created an economic boon along the tracks for bed and breakfast, kayak rentals, horseback rides, bike rentals, you name it. All kinds of different economic development has occurred along that rail trail.
And I would imagine, you know, there's probably a density equation in that as well.
It certainly is.
I'm thinking, like, you know, for us through, let's see, I mean, just even make it simple through South Bay and where CR is. You know, it's all in the coastal zone, and then you get into the coastal dependent arguments and issues and challenges. And you know, by the time a structure is built, you know, renting bicycles probably doesn't pencil out as a positive ROI unless there's some significant form of subsidization to make that kind of thing happen. Are those dollars available out there for assisting?
Yes. Yeah, they are. And, you know, ROI is an important aspect, but as a businessman yourself, a very successful one, I would say, you know, every industry is subsidized. There is no industry in America that isn't subsidized in one way or another, either with tax breaks or other startup incentives and various types of ways that, you know, we incentivize development because of the jobs that we'll get from it and from the increased property tax values and sales tax and other types of things that then return that investment that's been made by the public in, you know, subsidizing that industry. I mean, if you can name just one industry that's not subsidized, I'd love to hear it because I know it doesn't exist. Everybody
government.
Gets one form or another subsidy from the government. And so really what it comes down to is us as a society asking the question of, well, what do we want to subsidize and what don't we want to subsidize, right? Because what we subsidize is often what happens. So, for instance, solar tax credits. We, a long time ago, decided it'd be good to start putting solar on roofs, and we created tax incentives, tax credits, and lo and behold, people start putting solar all over their roofs. So there's a lot of other examples out there, and trails are no different. It will require some government assistance and some subsidy, but ultimately it will pay back over time, and you do get your return on investment in
well,
the long run.
That was one thing I was going to ask, Steve. I mean, this concept of a trail has been kicking around for a while, and I think we all know, well, those of us who have been around know how long it took to get the Willits Bypass put in. And certainly that's a different magnitude of scale, and understood.
Yeah.
However, you know, this trail, as you're talking about running through the Eel River Canyon, and you're talking about some of the wetlands and some of these other things, is this like a 50 or 60 year build out?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, in the next 10 years, you're going to see everything get connected up all the way to CR, more than likely.
Sure.
Like I said, the Humboldt Bay South is happening this summer. Eureka's been doing a bunch of the waterfront trail all the way around the city. Within 5 years, you'll have the links across to Fields Landing and Salmon, King Salmon, and then we'll get down to CR pretty quickly.
Yeah, I can see that.
It will probably take 10 to 20 years to get the Eel River Canyon stuff done. But there'll be stuff happening at the other end in Willits, et cetera. So it's not 50 years. It's more like 10 to 20 to get everything built out.
Okay. Well, it'll be interesting to see as this progresses, because I'm sure that this is going to be pretty visible because it's right along the highway. So we'll all be able to kind of monitor how it's going.
Yeah, we can ask the kids to put a wheelchair in the back of a pickup for us.
What do you mean wheelchair? No. Motorized.
Rocking chair. How's that?
Yeah, I'm thinking more like a golf cart. That's.
I like it. Well, I'm imagining these six-seater bikes at either end, Arcadia and Eureka, with a canopy over the top for rain and such. And you show up in the morning, get together with a bunch of students, and you pedal into Arcata and go to school, you know?
No. I'm thinking of a six-seater golf cart here with a cooler in the back. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Steve Madrone. Now that everybody's got a picture of me and you stuffed into a golf cart driving down these paths. Getting back to the overpass at Indianola, when are we going to start to see the physicalness of that, Steve? Does the trail have to be in and connected and signed off on before they can start, or can that run concurrently, and we'll start to see some of the physicalness of that overpass, because that's got to take 3 or 4 years all by itself?
Well, it is. The trails will get done next summer. So the trail around the bay will be finished probably by fall of next summer. That's the plan. Everything looks on track. The funding's in place. We'll be going out to bid for construction management here in the next week or two, and then we'll be finalizing plans and going out to bid for the construction this summer. So that will be getting done. And as far as the overpass, I don't know the schedule, but I do believe that over the next 2 to 3 years, we'll see substantial movement on that construction element.
Yeah, I think that that's really going to be, I mean, yeah, it's infrastructure, yeah, it's roads, and it's not particularly sexy, but it's another visible, like Humboldt, like the turbines, you know, like some of the housing developments. I mean, it's another sign of economic viability in our area, which I don't know anybody who shouldn't be excited about that.
Yeah, no, it is, and it's a critical one. That's probably the most heavily used crossing, and there's been a lot of death and serious injuries that have occurred at that crossing, so it'll be nice to get that upgraded.
Yeah, and just kind of take care of business, I guess.
Absolutely.
It's simply said. You had mentioned the services district also having the concern about PG&E and hookups. What's the next major project that McKinleyville is looking at?
Well, you know, there's been a fair amount of infilling, a number of subdivisions happening. In fact, there's one up on Murray Road underway right now, the Beaupre Estates, which I believe are 1 to 5 acre parcels with on-site sewage through septic systems, because the district does have a capacity in regards to accepting sewage, especially on that east side, because everything has to cross over the freeway to their treatment plant on the west side over there. But as far as water, there's still plenty of water, so that's going to be able to be provided. But so there are those projects, and then we're making headway on the town center with the Pearson family, Ann Pearson and her nephew Greg, who is helping her with the design elements and such.
How about Greg and his aunt?
Yeah, there you go, Greg and his aunt.
You got to pay attention to the guy that's swinging the hammer.
Right. Well, and the Pearsons have been very benevolent family. You know, Pearson Park and McKinleyville, the Azalea Hall, all that was built on property that was donated by the Pearson family.
Right.
A very benevolent local family. And so we're very excited because we're getting into the final stages of input from the MCMAC, McKinleyville Advisory Committee, on what the town center should look like. And there's some really exciting plans being drawn up that's going to protect the wetlands and the spruce forest. And even in the development, there's going to be water features and ponds and stuff, because I think we've all experienced being on vacation or going somewhere, and you see that beautiful restaurant that's got a balcony with seating out over a duck pond, or some
sort of
a water feature. And so I think we're going to be able to accomplish that in McKinleyville, which is also very exciting, and some very important senior housing and other housing. I mean, we still have a huge housing crisis, and Cal Poly is going to add to that, right? So McKinleyville will continue to see growth, and we formed a little subcommittee at the MCMAC to continue to look at the details of incorporation, not to push for incorporation, but to get the data. And Cal Poly Humboldt's going to be helping with that to update the study that was done almost 20 years ago and gather all the fresh information on total expenses, total revenues, sit down with the community and see what they want to do. Because I think we would all agree it's a city. And so, why not go ahead and take the next step for local control, have your own mayor, your own council, your own planning department. All those things. And, of course, people always say, oh, that means my taxes will go up. But as you and I both know, taxes only go up if you vote for them to go up. It's not something that's foisted on you. It's something you say, we could use better roads. Let's go ahead and tax ourselves for roads, or whatever it might be, police services.
As long as it's not bang on the tourist again. Yeah, I really take exception to that one. You go to San Francisco and... paying at one time, I've not been there in 8 or 10 years now. 18-19%. You go to New Orleans, it's about the same level, just a bed tax on top of. And then you got three or four nickel and dime ones, and it's like, maybe what we need in McKinleyville is more hotels, Steve. That'll take care of it.
What? There's about 4 different hotels that are being discussed as we speak.
I know, isn't it cool?
In McKinleyville. I mean, we only have one, so I think we've got some room for more.
Yeah. See, I could set you up. Thanks for coming by. Okay, final question. Ham or turkey?
Well, you be the ham, I'll be the turkey.
No, tomorrow. Tomorrow, ham or turkey. Come on.
I'll take a little of each.
Fine. All right. Well, at least you didn't say tofurkey, so I'll take that as a moral victory. Have a happy Thanksgiving, buddy. I'll see you in December.
Cluck, cluck.
Okay. See everybody else tomorrow morning.